Yeah, please move in a little bit so your back is not showing to Prabhupada. Okay, please, questions. Actually, if you say it in English first, that'll give me a little time to think about it also.
Please, could you please explain what place astrology, which role astrology play for devotees practicing Krishna consciousness?
This is another chapter in my Vaishnav culture book. The first book I wrote was that Brahmacharya in Krishna consciousness, because there were so many. I'd been in India and Bangladesh for some time, and then I visited a Western country, and the Brahmacharya ashram had declined so much. I thought I'd better put something in writing. So nowadays, if anyone asks me questions about Brahmacharya life, I just read that book. I used to get asked regularly about my memories of Srila Prabhupada. Now I just tell you, see that book. So I won't get asked this question, I hope, when that book is published, which is probably not going to be very soon. Within Srila Prabhupada's teachings, we see apparently contradictory statements about astrology. In one letter, he writes, "We don't have anything to do with astrology. It's for the karmis." In his books, he recommends it as an important part of Vedic culture. He himself consulted astrologers, especially in the final phase of his sojourn in this world, though it seems he didn't always take them too seriously. For those who are fully surrendered to Krishna, they may not want to consult astrologers. We find that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would consult the Panchang, the almanac, that's the word in English, the almanac for finding the auspicious time to set out on a journey. For initiation days and times. We find in the Vaishnav history, just like, for instance, if you see Bhakti Ratnaka, when people would set out on a journey, they would ascertain the auspicious time. We don't do that much nowadays. Maybe because we travel so much compared to in previous times. And if we have to catch a train, as the English way of expressing goes, or catch a flight, we can't tell the company, adjust your time to the astrologically favorable time. Up to the present time, in India and neighboring countries, marriages, especially among the higher class people, are always adjudicated or seen. First, the astrological chart is seen. Of course, what they call love marriages are also there. But still, the overwhelmingly, marriages are arranged. Yeah. You know? Oh, it's a big topic. But for marriage, if you want to start a business, for important decisions, for grihasthas especially, it's a good idea to consult astrology. I believe the ISKCON Sannyas Ministry consults the astrological chart of candidates for sannyas. That's a good idea. On the other hand, we don't want our life to be ruled by astrology. It's also important to find a competent astrologer. You can really have a lot of disturbance in your life by getting wrong advice. One devotee I know, after being married for about 15 years, what his wife did to him was horrendous. She made a police complaint of attempted murder on him. And even though the police knew it was false, they were obliged to put him in prison. A devotee who, a friend of mine, an astrologer, showed me an email he had sent to that devotee before he married that woman, warning him of the bad consequences of marrying this woman. And at the end of the letter, he wrote in capital letters, which you don't have in Cyrillic script. I think you don't have capital letters, huh? You do? Okay, all right. Shamyata. I learned something today. Do not marry her under any circumstances. But stronger than astrology is lust. Or love. It's love. He was in love with her. On the other hand, we see that previously, even in the Mlecha countries, such as the one we are presently in, people used to get married, eat meat, drink, no spiritual aspirations. They'd go to church, everything. But they'd get ati shudras, completely shudra types. But they'd get married, and most people they'd get married, and they'd stay married, the same person all their life. They didn't have books about how to adjust to your wife or your husband. They didn't have all kinds of psychological advice. There was no psychology. It was all invented recently. They just got married, had lots of children, stayed married all their life, with no thought of, there was no divorce actually. So astrology is not all in all. For all the ignorance of the culture in this part of the world, at least the culture of marriage was so strong that it just wasn't a question. How many of you think every day about going on a spaceship to Venus? Anyone? So it's like this, it's just something, it's not within the orbit of our thought process. So in the same way, it wasn't that people weren't even thinking of divorce. It just wasn't there in their mind. If they didn't like their husband or wife, well, too bad. Anyway. You have to adjust. You adjust. So it's a big topic. Astrology, psychology, culture, marriage. This breaking marriage, that was only for the high-class people in the Western world. So-called high-class, aristocratic people. The infamous example in English history is Henry VIII. Maybe you heard of him. I don't know if you heard of him. He was a very sinful person. He's the founder of the Church of England. He had 8 wives, but he only married one at a time. He's only married to one at a time. When he got fed up of one wife, he killed her and then went on to the next one. Because, you know, you're only allowed to marry one wife, right? And it's, yeah, so. Okay, not recommending it, by the way. It could be misconstrued. It could go out on the internet. Hare Krishna Guru recommends killing your wife. Reviving ancient English culture. You never know. The internet is a funny thing. I should have consulted an astrologer before saying that. Okay, next.
In the time of our festival, many ladies, many matajis can have critical days, okay, contaminating their bodies. So what to do in this case? To what degree we should limit it, our participation? I think this question from Mataji.
Probably.
Participation. Participation in the very festival and in performing service for the festival. Should we isolate ourselves from other devotees so that not to contaminate them? What to do if this contamination happens on the day when Mataji gets her initiation, initiation and should sit on the yagya?
Another frequently asked question, another one for the Vaishnava culture book. In Vedic culture or Hindu culture, this question wouldn't arise. It's just, there's no question. When women are in their monthly period, they're not seen. India is now becoming very advanced. Girls go to school. They go to the office. So people don't observe this so much. But still, it's practically universally observed that they don't go to temples during that time. Although that is changing. Actually, this thing is, it's not only in India, it's in African culture, and it was widespread. I don't know if it was ever in the West, but it was widespread. It's a good opportunity for the women to have a few days rest. Especially that time is very difficult for them. In Mayapur, the Western women asked Srila Prabhupada what they should do. Should they go to the temple? No, let me tell you something before that. In the early days, very early days of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada had a female servant. The husband and wife were serving him. And Srila Prabhupada, I don't know how, but he noticed that she was in her period. So he told her, then you don't come till this is over. And she became upset. So Prabhupada said, oh, okay, you come. The same disciple of Srila Prabhupada was one of those when Srila Prabhupada first gave Brahminical initiation to men only. And he explained in the lecture at that ceremony that men are given Brahminical initiation and women are known as a Brahmani by being married to such a man. But the women felt insulted and they didn't come to the festival, to the ceremony at all. So the next day Srila Prabhupada gave them that initiation. So he made certain allowances because of their feministic ego. That's how I interpret it. Which is one reason that I'm not very popular with some members of this society. In Mayapur, when Western Matajis asked Srila Prabhupada whether or not they should go to the temple during their period, in the Western countries, this question didn't even arise. They would just go. But the Bengali women in Mayapur were very unhappy that they were going to the temple in their period. So they are, and Prabhupada said, you can go wearing a silk sari. The Bengali women weren't very happy. They have some kind of, I don't know how, but somehow they understand when a woman is in her period. There was one case in India, a woman sat in the yajna for initiation and one elderly woman just pulled her out. But she ordered her. So it's a clash of cultures. The Vedic culture is the perfect culture for human society. So that's one option. You can wear a silk sari. Or you can just cloister yourself away. Yeah, sometimes in India we see it at the back, some women, they're sitting right at the back, just at the entrance, and we know they shouldn't be here at all. And then, don't cut sabjis. Don't make flower garlands. Maybe we could have the programs broadcast so they can watch. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada wanted to introduce these Vedic culture, but especially matters pertaining to women's roles has become very contentious within Vaishnav society. So I'm not giving a clear-cut answer. It's up to you, up to your level of acceptance. If you think, I waited all year, I saved up money, I came such a long distance, and now I can't participate for some days. You might consider like that also. Commonly in India, if we ask where is someone's wife, they say, oh, she's sick. That means, usually it means she's in that period. So you could take it like that. If you're sick, you can't come. If you're struck by fever, you can't come. So it's something like that. Apparently there is scientific evidence that the even physically women by their breathing and their touching in that period are contaminated. So I'm told. Okay, another question.
So in regards to yesterday's question on chanting Hare Krishna is equal to associating with Krishna. So you suggested the one who asked that question to find a reference to analyze this question more elaborately. So the Prabhu found some reference, and he's saying that in regarding the chanting Hare Krishna, I have not seen references from Prabhupada, but in context of hearing about Krishna and associating with Krishna, Srila Prabhupada writes, in Bhagavad Gita it is said, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, the pastimes and the pastimes of the Lord are not material. They are beyond the material ideas. And conditioned souls, they get a great benefit when they listen about the inconceivable activities of the Lord. And by listening these pastimes about the Lord, they are associating with Him.
So what's the question? The question is? Hearing about Krishna, yeah.
So hearing about Krishna is associating with Krishna, but...
What is the question? Yeah, the proposition was that chanting Hare Krishna is talking to Krishna. But what is the question? Oh, I see. It's just a clarification. Yeah, chanting Hare Krishna is talking to Krishna. Praying is one kind of talking. But it's a different kind of talking to having a face-to-face conversation or a friendly conversation. The time will come. Srila Prabhupada said, if we go on practicing Krishna consciousness, the time will come when we can talk face-to-face with Krishna.
When you see during the kirtan that someone plays wrongly, you feel irritated or upset. Yeah, plays musical instruments. So should we show that everything is fine, or we should point to these discrepancies? But in this case, devotee can be upset, can become upset, or. Or we should suppress this in ourselves. So, will this suppression not harm myself?
It's common that devotees play the instruments out of time. Sometimes people are playing the cartels out of time. I just put my hand in between. They might be upset with me, but I have that kind of position where they just have to take it. And then we get into another whole discussion of correcting seniors. It's another whole big discussion. Kirtan is worship of Krishna, and there are certain methods of playing instruments which contribute to the worship. And if it's not done properly, then it's not pleasing to Krishna. You may say, well, I'm doing it with all my heart. Well, you should do it with your intelligence also. If you really have a heart for Krishna, you should learn how to do things properly for Krishna. You might cook a meal for Krishna. The chapatis are burned. The rice is undercooked. There's too much salt in the dal. You put salt in the sweet rice instead of sugar. But I did it with love. You can do it with as much love as you like, but you shouldn't offer that to Krishna. If you don't know how to do something properly and it's to be done for Krishna, take training, be humble. It seems to be a tradition in Russia that the Sri Guru Charana Padma is played out of time, everywhere in Russia. It's a strict rule. You must play, everyone plays out of time.
Does a sexual act with a duly married wife, but not for begetting children, does it mean that it is breaking the principle? During the course, the disciple in ISKCON, we are being taught that this act is not transgression. This is not transgression. Yeah. So, and they are they state that Srila Prabhupada was condescending with his disciples in this
matter. Not condescending, that's the wrong word.
Lenient, yes. In this matter. He was lenient in this matter.
Well, it's very clear from Srila Prabhupada's teachings that any sexual act without the specific aim of procreation of children is sinful. So how can you teach in the ISKCON disciple course something which is opposite to Srila Prabhupada's instruction? Must have been written by someone who was doing that himself. If you say that Srila Prabhupada was lenient, that infers that is wrong. It's definitely not as sinful as sexual acts outside of marriage. And Srila Prabhupada didn't cross-examine his disciples or ask about their marital activities. But to say that it's not sinful is sinful. And then what do you do? Then you read Prabhupada's books and find out that it's sinful. Then? And they give a test, right? So if you write what Prabhupada says, you get marked wrong. This is called Yoga Nashta. Refer to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 3. Teachings we don't like, we change them. That's very serious. It's serious on two counts. One count, we're misleading devotees as to what should be done and what should not be done. On the other count, we're deliberately, knowingly, going against what Prabhupada said. And the second point, we're deliberately, knowingly going against what Srila Prabhupada said. Is that only in the Russian disciple course, or is it in the English one also? Do you know? Not in English. And little vodka, time to time, is also okay. Because after all, we're Russian devotees. And if you feel in your heart a man feels sexual attraction toward a man, then you shouldn't deny yourself. It's spiritual love. And if you want to have sex with animals, everything's okay, right? Once you start compromising, where's the end? Slippery slope. You must have that saying in Russian also, is it? If you enter a slippery slope, sooner or later you're going to slide. And it's only down. Very fast. And you can't get back up again.
The similar, like to this topic, the question is to the similar topic. If husband cannot follow strictly this principle of not illicit sex, does it mean that his wife will not get initiation, never get initiation?
I just got a question similar to this from a lady devotee who's supposed to be initiated by myself, not here in Russia, somewhere else. She wrote that, well, I should inform you. I don't think anyone informed you, but I should inform you that my husband is not a devotee, and he eats meat. He has no problem with my being a devotee, but he wants me to cook meat. So could I still take initiation? And I replied that I can do so, following the example of Srila Prabhupada's sister, who was initiated also by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But she was married to a flesh eater. She never had flesh in her life, but she was obliged to cook for him. She was given Harinam initiation. Later, she took the second initiation from one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had passed away. So I wrote to this lady devotee, I could initiate you, but you have to look in your own heart and see if you yourself will be satisfied with this. Then she wrote back and said that my husband said to me that I know this initiation is very important for you, so you don't cook meat for me anymore, I'll cook for myself. With first initiation, sometimes we can be somewhat lenient. After all, people may be sincere to take to Krishna consciousness, but circumstances militate against them. It used to be common in Bengal that women would wait until they got older before they took initiation. There were many traditional Vaishnava families. Srila Prabhupada was born in a traditional Vaishnava family. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wasn't. Previously, if you go back in his forefathers, they were Vaishnavas, but at some point they became Shaktas, worshippers of Kali and Durga. So they were Vaishnavas means they take initiation from a Vaishnava guru, family guru. But many women did not, they put off their initiation until they got older. Because normally they'd have so many children, they wouldn't have time for doing so many activities of sadhana. Of course, there's no guarantee you'll live to be older. But anyway, that was common. Headache? He has a headache. This boy has a headache. Have a headache? Holding your head like this. Or he's a philosopher. Thinking deeply.
Wife follows the husband, but if we...
Oh, there are many questions like this. I'm not an expert on all these things. I don't have experience in this life of the vicissitudes of family life. It means the ups, downs, ins, outs, and so on. The turbulence. What should I do? Mostly the questions come from women, it seems. They're trying to understand what it means, their role in Vaishnava society. Many times I've asked senior lady disciples of mine to give guidance to others who are more junior in Krishna consciousness. But often the women, they don't want to do because they find it very difficult, because the women, they if they don't like the advice, then they fight with them. And I can try and arrange for one or two senior female mentors for you. Or you can suggest among yourselves. Because if I suggest someone, then it's going to be not from, not Russian speaking. So, you consult among yourselves, and if you want someone to advise you on all these things, through me, then you can inform Ramesh Prabhu and he'll inform me, and then I'll try to do the needful. Indian women, they can understand these things much more easily. Recently, a group of devotees came to see me, mostly women. So I said to them, why are women considered less intelligent? I knew some of the women there are very intelligent, actually, in what would be considered intelligence. They weren't at all offended by the question. And they knew the answer. Because of women's tendency to sense gratification. And I explained that more. The word stri, woman, means she who expands. Vistara. Vistara karoti iti stri. We find that in Bhagavatam. Ato griha kshetra sutabta vitaya. When a man and a woman come together, the man can just live anywhere, lie down on the floor, but when he gets married, he needs a house and some land, then children come, and the whole society, friendship and love syndrome expands. Money is required. Srila Prabhupada once, pointing to the skyscrapers of New York City, said, "This whole city is built on sex desire." On the other hand, dharmic marriage, religious marriage, is required. If you can be a brahmachari all your life, very good. For women, in almost all cases recommended, they should be married. But if a man is not going to be a brahmachari, then he should be a grihastha. Srila Prabhupada said, "There is no better way of preaching than distributing my books." He said, "Distributing my books and establishing these farms, these two programs can change the face of the earth." So establishing Vaishnava farm communities with ideal grihastha life, that's also huge preaching. And people see that you can live very simply and very happily with Krishna in the center.
So can a wife get initiation before her husband if she's ready, but he is not?
Generally, I prefer, this quite often happens that the woman is ready before the man. But usually I say, if the man's on the path, but he's coming up slowly behind, I usually say, wait for both to come together. It's not forbidden that the wife take ahead of the husband, but at least myself, I usually say, okay, let the man come up and you take together. So it becomes a good impetus for the man to come up. That's it? No more questions? No, there's still more coming. Okay.
The question, there are different opinions in regard to falling of Jiva from the spiritual world, whether Jiva fell down from the spiritual world or not. Can you say something in this regard?
I can, but I'm not much inclined to. Because Srila Prabhupada, he said that, what's the use of discussing? When you're drowning in the ocean, your first concern is to get out of it. Later you can do an analysis of how I fell there. So I'm not much inclined. It's paradoxical. If you say we fell from the spiritual world, how in that pure place where everything is all blissful, how would we ever leave? But if we don't have minute independence, then how can we love? In Chaitanya Charitamrita it's stated, Krishna bhuli se jivanadi bahimukh. Forgetting Krishna, the jiva is inimical to Krishna without beginning. So the paradox comes right there, because forgetting is an activity which takes place in a certain time. And if we say time immemorial, then, actually immemorial means it's out of our memory, but there's no beginning to our incarceration in material existence. So it's seemingly contradictory. Srila Prabhupada said in this context, anadi, without beginning, means it's such a long time that it's beyond memory, immemorial. Well, there's a kind of discussion that will go on forever. There'll always be pro-fall vadis and anti-fall vadis.
Does Grihastha Ashram fall into the category of Nishkam Karma Yoga?
Well, if you're really living as an ashram, then minimally it should be Nishkam Karma Yoga. Or better still, it should be Manasa Deho Geho Jokichumo Apiluntu Apade Nandakisho. And ideally it should be with everything dedicated to Krishna. Simply to be married doesn't mean you're in Grihastha Ashram. You have to follow rules and regulations and have spiritual advancement as your clear goal of life.
Is the fanaticism the manifestation of sincerity? How should we properly treat such devotees so that not to commit Vaishnava aparad?
Well, fanaticism, Srila Prabhupada defines not as a sign of sincerity, but as a lack of philosophical understanding. It's based on a lack of philosophical understanding. Without proper knowledge. So if someone's sincere, they should shishashte ham shadiman tvam prapannam. They should submit for instruction to learn about devotional service.
Can you please tell what was the standard of Mangala Arati at the time when you came to Society of Devotees, and how it changed during the time since that time?
Well, the standard given by Srila Prabhupada didn't change. It's just that it's not followed as strictly as it used to be. So then we declare a new standard. Standard was that 4:30 in the morning and everyone goes. What else do you want to know? I was shocked in the 1980s when I visited a Western country after not being outside of India and Bangladesh for some years. And the temple had a temple board for administration. And one of the rules for being a member of the temple board, I can't remember exactly, but as far as I remember, was that you should attend Mangala Arati at least 3 days a week.
About preaching of principles of Varnashrama, should it be conducted in ISKCON or outside, or we should preach outside to the people outside ISKCON, and what preaching Srila Prabhupada wanted from us in this regard?
Srila Prabhupada preached about Varnashram both within ISKCON and beyond ISKCON. There are several farm communities which I oversee, and we find more appreciation from non-devotees than devotees. You can't preach much about it unless you have something to show. Yes, so Srila Prabhupada would regularly preach to people intellectual people he met about how society should be divided into four classes. He wrote about it extensively in his Bhaktivedanta purports. He gave a whole talk about it in egalitarian Sweden in a university. The socialistically minded faculty and students weren't very happy with that. So at the end, when there were questions, one man challenged Srila Prabhupada. He said, "So you think you're a first-class man?" Srila Prabhupada immediately replied, "No, I am fifth class. I am the lowest because I am the servant of all." And he really meant it. Then?
Should a man register his marriage officially, legally, yes, or is it enough to just to perform vivaha yagya? As far as I see, a man who registered their marriage legally falls into very dependent position on his wife, and his wife misuses this situation. So should we register legally our marriage or not?
I don't know enough about the social and legal realities in this country to answer that. Sorry.
How should teaching of boys in system of Varnashrama be conducted? How should we combine spiritual and civic, or spiritual and training of the child? How should we combine that? And how we should train boy if there is no gurukul? How in this case we can organize the training in the best way if there are very few devotees around?
These are very big topics. There's no one-line answer. I gave a talk some years ago, I don't know if that's translated in Russian, called Sailing into Uncharted Waters. It is in Russian? Okay. The gist of it is that we're trying to develop Varnashram communities, but we don't have a very clear idea of, we have a general idea of what we want to do, but there are so many details which it's experimental to a large extent. I really want to see this established. One of my disciples, that's a Shiksha disciple, I didn't initiate him, who has dedicated his life to Srila Prabhupada's Varnashram mission. He has much experience in establishing and overseeing our farm communities in India. He came to Russia a few years ago. He got a visa, but for some unknown reason, they refused him entry. I guess we could try for him to come again, but he's probably, his name is in the computer, the persona non grata. He could help you a lot, but what to do? He goes to Czech Republic, where we have a farm. Check here. Yeah. There's another disciple of mine who from India who regularly travels to the West, who's also in this line. He could maybe come here also. That's a possibility. You can write and remind me about that. I can ask him. The only thing is, if he gets a visa for Russia, that might make it more difficult for him to go to America. I'm not sure if it will be like that, but it might be. I'm not finding that. I stopped in Turkey, but I came from America. And then I'll go back, and they have in their computer where I've been, and they don't seem to be concerned that I'm going to Russia. So anyway, we can ask him, because he can spend time, his experience, and many points. Once we start discussing these things, there are so many details. But it is very good to discuss all these things. One reason that some of our farm projects, the ones that I'm overseeing, are going well, some of them, not all of them, is because we have had so much discussion of what to do. We don't just throw, what's that called, those cards? Tarot cards. We don't do... we discuss thoroughly. And ongoing discussion is required. We're steering a ship in uncharted waters, and we need to adjust. So in summary, I can't answer all these questions, but... let's try to send someone who could spend the time with you and discuss all these things with you. And Krishna will give you intelligence, but better than learning from experience is learning from those who have already had the experience. Because it is possible to make major mistakes. Just like in ISKCON, having gurukuls, that we, as a society, we handle that so badly, so extremely badly, that many devotees don't even like the idea of having a gurukul. So we don't want that we have that experience again. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarupyascha kripa sindhubhi evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.